Am I pod fading? Maybe I'm pod fading. I don't know. I might be pod fading. The question is, am I pod fading? I can't tell you if I am or not. I don't know. This is the Lesbian Mafia. This is show number 71. I'm Sandy. So I'm here doing a podcast because I think I'm pod fading. That's when you just drop out. You know, you do something and you're really into it and then you just stop doing your podcast. But so I've decided that I'm going to get back into this podcast by just talking about something really stupid, which is an article that I read in the Post that I can't stop thinking about this story. I mean, I don't understand why it stayed with me. And the article is from the New York Post, and it is titled Heavyweight Sister Battle. And the Post tweeted it: Brooklyn woman beats up 500-pound bedridden sister over $100. Right? So, of course, I'm going to read that. And so, here's the story. Let me lower this. So, okay. Heavyweight sister battle. A heavy-handed Brooklyn woman beat up her 500-pound bedridden sister, even tossing her sibling's vital oxygen mask into the hallway. In a dispute over a $100 gift, authorities said. She told me, bitch, die. Victim Marvinius Nicholson told the Post yesterday, that hurt me. That really hurt me. The attack occurred at 2:30 p.m. Monday when Jewel Lane, 47, went to Nicholson's private home in East New York, where the 53-year-old woman is confined to a hospital bed. Now, I guess she's confined to a hospital bed in her house. I don't know, because how could she beat up her own sister over $100? I don't understand. I don't understand how people abuse each other in this way. And then you say to yourself, is this real? But you know, yeah, this shit is real. People do this kind of stuff to each other over $100. I don't, how am I supposed to feel about that? How do you feel about that? Are you appalled? I can't even imagine that this goes on in this world. I can't. See, what I need you to understand is I don't understand this world. I understand nothing. But the longer I live and the more that I learn and the more that I know, the less I understand anything. That's the conundrum. The more you know sometimes, the worse it is. Do I need to know this, that this goes on in the world, that she beat up her sister? She's 500 pounds. She's in the bed. She's bedridden. She can't get out of the bed because she ate herself into 500 pounds. And I mean, how many stories do you hear about people who are 500 pounds and they can't leave the house? I guess at 500 pounds, you're probably pretty much bedridden. Who's treating this person? This is the healthcare system in this country. Who is treating this person? I'm sorry, but you can't eat yourself into being 500 pounds. I know that sounds stupid. That doesn't sound right. But you can't eat yourself into being 500 pounds. That's not normal. There's something wrong with the person's hormones, and they're not being treated properly. That's a doctor's negligence. When you see a person who's 500 pounds, don't blame the person. Blame their doctors. You know what I'm saying? Because that is an untreated hormonal issue. When you're either stick skin, that you're a rail, or when you're a 500-pound person. When your hormones are imbalanced, your brain chemistry gets imbalanced, everything's connected, you know? So if your hormones are imbalanced and your brain chemicals are imbalanced, you're going to get cravings for certain things to try to balance the brain chemicals and the hormones and, you know, try to balance what's supposed to be a symbiosis in your body. So, you know, I'm not saying that she doesn't overeat to, you know, 500 pounds. You have to at some point overeat. But I can't see how someone can eat themselves into being 500 pounds. That I don't understand. That's not eating. There's something wrong. And then imagine, how could she beat her up? How long am I going to talk about this? I just want to say that I don't know what to talk about anymore. All of a sudden, I've stopped knowing what to talk about. I feel like sometimes, I don't know. You know what I mean? I have Evian. I bought this, so I'm spraying it. Can you hear it? You probably can. It's so low. You know, I spray sometimes a little, you know, to hydrate. I don't know if it works. But I can't use moisturizer because it makes me break out. No matter what I buy, I could buy the most expensive cream and I could buy garbage. And no matter what, I will break out. So I, for the past 10 years, I haven't been able to use moisturizer, which is horrible. My grandmother used to put on, as long as I can remember, she put on Oil of Olay every single day of her life. She's 86 years old. She looks 60. Her birthday's coming. Her birthday is the same day, October 16th, as Mary Daly's birthday, by the way. So, you know, I just want to say, you know, I feel that extra connection there. And even though Mary Daly ended up jumping on stupid bandwagons, political bandwagons, you know, what are you going to do? I'm not going to talk, you know? Who am I? But so, 86, 85, 86, whatever, she goes up and down 3-4 flights of stairs every single day. She's always fixing the garbage. She loves fixing the garbage. She moves her garbage can all over the house. I don't know, every time you see her, she's with the garbage can doing something with the garbage. I don't know, my grandmother is obsessed with taking out the garbage. And when I was younger, I would throw out clothes, and then, within that week, I would find her wearing them, you know? And then one time, I threw out a t-shirt, and it said, Black and Blue Ball, which was an S&M party that I had gone to. And I'll never forget this. On Thanksgiving Day, I remember I'd gone and, everybody was over. The whole family was over. And she was wearing the shirt Black and Blue Ball. And I didn't know how to tell her or why she needed to take off that shirt and change it. I told my mother, I said, Ma, she's got to change that shirt, you know. And then my mother was like, what is that, Sandy? What does that mean? You know, like, she's so... You have to understand the people that I was raised around. I look at them and I just feel like an alien, you know, and it has nothing to do with the gay thing. I just feel like, how in God's name did I land in this family? Like, whose idea was it to put me in this family? You know, who? So anyway, I can't remember if she changed the shirt or not. My grandmother's stubborn, so knowing her, she probably didn't change it. My grandmother would go, what is that? Es que se niente anyway. You know, like, that doesn't mean anything, she would say. So, you know, what are you going to do? And then even, like, if I would throw out a pair of shoes or something, or let's say a pair of sneakers or something, like, you know, it's just that we're done, you know? If you're throwing a pair of shoes out, they're done. You know what I'm saying? And then I would see her wearing them, and she would do these weird things. She would take my sneakers. I don't wear sneakers. You know, I usually just wear them to... Sometimes I would wear them on the train back and forth from where, you know, I would change my shoes because I didn't want to mess up my shoes or whatever. You know, a lot of people do that out here in New York, and it looks so tacky and it's awful and disgusting. So she would take my sneakers and do weird things to them. She would cut the tongue out. She'd cut the tongue out of them, and then she would lace them up in a very strange way and wear them without the tongue. Maybe they were too small. I don't know what her logic was, and to this day, she still wears clothes that I threw out 15, 20 years ago. She still has them. She has, you know, the poverty complex. She has nice clothes in her closet that she has never worn. That's the irony. Why am I talking about my grandmother? I don't get it. But I mean, she has an entire closet full of clothing that's really nice. And she never wears it. She wants to wear my old clothes from 15 years ago. Yeah, so, and then my mother, she picks she goes out with these men. Not these men. She has a partner that she's had for, I don't know, 15, whatever, how long? A lot of years, a long time. But she picks these guys. They're so, you know, she loves gangsters. She loves these gangster guys that are like, I don't understand. Just to give you a little background, you know, I'm a daughter of immigrants. On my mother's side, it's all Italian. And, you know, they're very, European. So they came here and they learned the language, but they're still, you know, they still hold on to their roots because they, you know, this was not their birthplace. America was not their birthplace. So, and, you know, when you come from another place, you know, you still have that attachment to your country and, you know, some pride. I mean, you know, pride of your background. And then when you get here and you meet these people that are third, fourth generation, you know, like they're totally detached from the culture. They don't know the language. They don't. They don't feel protective towards their culture, you know, in the right ways. So, you know, there is no sense of heritage. Like, it's just they're wandering the earth and with just no ground to them. And it's sad that, you know, I think I see it more in a second, third, and fourth generation. You know, it's, you really see the loss of roots. And it's really unfortunate, you know, that Europeans, a lot of Europeans do this to their children. They just don't pass on the culture. I mean, I don't know. I guess because I'm first generation, I know that I would make sure, if I had kids, I would make sure they knew the language, or, you know, and I think it's a sin that my niece and nephew don't know the language. They're half, the mother's, Romanian, Polish, half Jew, and my brother, uncle, whatever, he's Italian. First generation, how do you not teach these kids the language? I don't understand. You know, everyone else seems to understand the importance of carrying the language on, except for a lot of Europeans. You find that they completely Anglo themselves and just forget everything. And so, anyway, so what else am I here to say? I'm starting to feel like I'm losing track. It's weird because I've taped about 3 shows, and at some point during each of these shows that I've taped to try to post them, in the middle of them, I just go completely blank. And I stop, you know, having anything to say. It's so weird. Like, I'll be just talking, and then all of a sudden, my mind goes completely blank, and I have nothing to say. What is that about? What is that? I feel like I need therapy for that. And I tried this 3 times to post a show. And 3 times, I started talking, and it was regular. And then in the middle of it, just totally go blank. What is that? That's an issue that you take to therapy. Is there any therapist? Are you a therapist? Can you tell me what that's about? That all of a sudden, like, you just go completely blank, and I have nothing to say. I totally go completely blank. What is that? That's never happened to me before. So, yeah, 3 times. I'm telling you, 3 times. Nothing. I don't understand. You know, I was talking about this with Peterson and Joe G. Peterson's from Queer and Queerer. How do you say that? Queer and Queerer. How do you say that? Yeah, so, you know, and he sent me a message, you know, by the way, a little aggressive tone. I thought, I felt like I was getting yelled at a little. And then someone else sent me a message on Facebook. Oh, is it my imagination? Because I just went to your site. Was your last podcast really in July? So she was clearly trying to embarrass me. So I have been embarrassed and a little shaken up from being yelled at. So that's what made me post this. Just, I said, let me just talk whatever, and then, you know, we'll just post whatever it is, I'll post it. And if I go blank again, then I'll just stop again. What can I do except try and try and try again, right? I get a lot of letters from you guys over the past couple months. You guys on the Twitter, my lovely darling friends on Twitter, thank you for putting up with a lot of my tweets. By the way, twitter.com/thelesbianmafia. Yeah, but so, you know, on the Twitter, a lot of you guys, what you do is you will tweet over a line from the show. And then you'll, you know, say what show it was from. And so that's really nice. That's a really nice exchange. And then I RT it because, you know, whatever. And then hopefully you get a couple followers out of it. But, you know, it's a really nice thing to do that. You know, and then it lets me know you're listening to old shows. And that it's very encouraging. You know, especially when you're feeling like, oh, wow, do I really have anything to say anymore? Sometimes I just feel like maybe I don't have anything interesting to say anymore. Maybe I'm pod fading. Am I pod fading? The first thing that I have to start off right now, that I just watched Liza Minnelli interview. And first thing, what I can't stand is when people say, oh, the gay community. First of all, it's not the gay community. See, she's not a gay female icon. She just isn't. I'm not saying that I don't like Liza Minnelli. But am I wrong when I say that? Am I being separatist?
No, you're 100% right.
Is that separatist?
No, it's truth.
But anyway, so I just watched an interview with her, and the guy's asking her questions about movies that she's done. And I'm saying to myself, wow, don't ask her questions that go too far back, because, you know, she's
an alcoholic, you know?
She's so drugged up. Like, you're lucky you're going to get an answer out of her that she knows what she ate for breakfast. You know what I'm saying? Never mind asking her about a movie she did 30 years ago. Well, anyway, so he goes, you know, what were you thinking when you, were doing this part in such movies? And she's like, her answer was so weird.
Because she wasn't thinking.
She answers questions with irrelevant, unrelated. Like, he said, what were you thinking? And she was like, I had a bike. And I gravitate towards salads and people. What are you talking about, lady? What are you talking about? And then when she gives her speeches, she's like, you know, talking. People say I'm a gay icon. And then she breaks out into song. I never kissed. Like, she goes from total incomprehensible speaking to, like, to perfect singing in, like, the snap of a finger.
People say I'm a gay icon. I don't know. I don't know. They say I'm a gay icon. I never kissed a man before.
Oh my God, I'm gonna die.
I never.
You do that really well.
All of my impressions are horrible, but why are they funny?
Because it's so real. It's so true. Why do you think they end up as space cadets?
She is so gone.
She's an alcoholic, though.
Yeah, and but she doesn't answer questions. Like, she doesn't know what she's saying.
Because when you drink like that and you do drugs, it fries your brain. So she really doesn't have an answer, but she has to make one up on the spot.
And I'm saying, like, how does he sit there and not... He's acting... Okay, it's like we all know, and I think that even she knows that she's playing it off. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
That she's sane and coherent. I think she knows that she's playing it off, too. So it's like, you, the person watching, the guy interviewing, and then her. Like, you all know this is craziness.
Right.
Like, you're asking questions. She doesn't know what she's talking about. She knows she doesn't know what she's talking about. And then he'll ask, like, it's so weird, the questions he asks. Well, when you met, you've lost a lot of friends to AIDS. How did that affect your life?
He was my friend, and then I had knee surgery.
Oh, God.
Just very strange, irrelevant, and stupid.
It's more like, it sounds like her brain was fried. You know, you can't...
She's so gone.
Your thoughts. Yeah, she's just gone. But how do you conduct an interview with someone who's gone like that?
Yeah, well, I think her agent should tell her to stop doing interviews. She should only sing and give speeches, you know?
Yeah. Speeches. Speeches that are memorized.
Her speeches are so out of this world. It's just...
Oh, my God. Speeches.
I can't. I never kissed a man before.
The club scene is really sucking ass. I don't know if it's because I'm getting old, but whatever it is unacceptable behavior going on. I go out and it's just, like, shitty everywhere I go. Maybe I'm going to the wrong spot. I have to find out where the body's at.
Okay, so was there ever a time where you felt that going to lesbian clubs was fun?
Yeah.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. It's either because I was younger, and to me, it just seemed like a lot of fun, and really, it wasn't really shit going on, but maybe because I was young and stupid, it was like, oh, yeah, this is good. Or the parties just really suck. I think the parties really suck. Even the women out there, like, oh, good Lord.
I think the parties always sucked.
No, but at least it was like half decent women in there. Now you go out and it's just nastiness.
Yeah, what do you mean nastiness? Are people more drunk?
Look at you. Just want to go home and cry if you're single.
Like, is this what's out there?
Yeah, this is what's out there.
How do you feel about the drunkenness at lesbian clubs?
I don't have a feeling for the drunkenness because I don't even stay that long to see them get that drunk. Because by, like, thinking 12 o'clock, I'm like, ooh, I'm tired. I'm not even there yet.
You know, I remember being when, you know, like, when we used to go out, and all of the, you know, the place would clear out at around 2 o'clock, a lot of these places. And now we know why. Because they're probably just, you know, they were looking at, you know, the way we look. Like, what the hell is here? There's nothing here. I mean, I don't know, because I never really had fun at the clubs. Like, if I ever had fun at the clubs, it was because I was with certain friends.
Yeah, but, like, when we went out, like, to the chicken party back in the days, it used to be a good crowd of women. Now, there's not a good crowd of women, and maybe, I don't know, it's like, I look and they're all just a bunch of little stupid girls of no substance. It's just bad.
Yeah. Was there anybody of substance ever in these lesbian clubs?
Yeah, I think back in my time when I was hanging out, the women had a little bit more good substance. The women had, you know, the woman took care of themselves. They got dressed. They looked nice. Just like the women just all looked the same. It's like nobody cares. Everybody's just coming out anyhow. It's not, I'm like, where's all the feminine pretty women? And when we went out, there was like, you know, there were women, like feminine women like that. But now it's like, where's all those people?
Yeah, what happened?
I mean, I don't want to say names, but there was, like, I could just go off the top of my head a few, like when we were hanging out, feminine women that were around. I was like, okay, whatever. Now you go to the club, there's none. It's like, well, what is this?
Yeah, right, right. Well, the femme is, has been assaulted. I think that, not that other people aren't attracted, but I think the femme woman has been assaulted and has been scared back into their homes.
Yeah, they don't want the femme women out there anymore.
Yeah, I don't think they like the femme women, and they do everything to make you feel uncomfortable. Like, I don't know, you know, to me, I always felt like going to the lesbian clubs, like I would go out with the straight girls or whatever they were by, whatever they were, and have a fucking good ass time. You don't pay to get into the clubs. Everybody's treating you nicely. Then when you get in, you don't even have to pay for drinks. You're still hanging out with people that you enjoy having a good time. But if you're looking for a partner in a club, well, as a gay person and you're hanging out in a straight place, that's bad. But if you're hanging out in a mixed place, I don't know. It's just so much more appealing to me. Like, I had so much more fun hanging out in mixed places. Then I would drag all of my straight girlfriends to go to the gay places, and we were all miserable. Because
first of all, the music sucks.
The music always sucks. Now, I've never, not once, ever been to a lesbian place where the music is bad. I mean, good.
Yeah, the music always sucks. That's one major thing. And then the lesbians all walk around like they got to stick up their ass, like just to say hi to you would hurt them, so they don't speak, they're rude.
Yeah, very clicky. Very clicky.
Yeah, they're clicky, so they're rude. Like if you're in a regular straight club, the girls, if you say hi to a girl, the girls say, hey, they'll dance with you and have fun, it's all good. Like those girls are out to just have fun. I don't like you, don't look at me. Like they all fuck on themselves, they're like, they're ridiculous.
Yeah, very clicky. And then the only time that they get nice is after they're trashed.
And then nobody wants to be bothered with their trashy asses.
Yeah, and then they're breathing all over you. And then they're breathing. They're just breathing that hot, stinky, algae breath all over you. What's the point of going to a lesbian? I think that we have to find other places to socialize other than nightclubs.
Well, we need something else. We really desperately need something else to do besides a nightclub. A place where you can just go hang out, have fun, meet women, just chit-chat and talk. Especially for, like, me. I don't have to be out freaking shaking my ass and going crazy, but I would like to go where the lesbians are and hang out for a little bit sometimes.
Right. Well, the only other places where you can hang out is, like, civic clubs, and then all these stupid idiots bring their dumb politics, and then you have to, you know? Maybe the reason why nightclubs have been successful is because people don't talk.
Right. More dancing, more body movement, less talking.
Yeah, and then you just drink. The music's too loud to talk. Because then once you start to talk to people, you start to realize, well, maybe you don't like them.
You mean? You realize that a damn fool is an idiot.
You just went home with a fucking asshole.
You realize that she's not just a fool, she's a goddamn idiot. You were beautiful and I was loving you. Why did you even open your mouth?
Right. Then all of a sudden she has an entire history, a whole body of history.
You were like, oh, good Lord, why did you tell me that? I would have slept with you if you didn't tell me all of that.
Mr. Stoffy stopped coming by my neighborhood. I don't know why he's going by yours. He stopped coming here last month.
He's done with your neighborhood.
He's through with us. Isn't that funny how someone can be physically really beautiful and then they could just say something and it just takes it all away?
But then by the time she's finished talking, don't give that much information to anybody because it's just not good. Trust me.
What has changed in the past couple of decades in the nightclubs for women? What's changed? What do you think has changed?
I think
maybe it's we've changed.
Like, there's no more mature women going out, I guess. So the mature women that we would look at or that we would be interested in is not going to the clubs right now.
Right, right.
I'm not a fan of the post right now myself, but once in a while you figure if it's somebody, if it's somebody's birthday or something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
They would, you go out, but then when you do go there once in a while, it's like bad.
Eah.
There's nothing there, and everybody's really young and just silly. It's like.
Yeah, no, you got to go to the mixed parties. They're more fun, but you don't want to listen to me. You want to keep beating a dead horse, You want to keep going to these lesbian places.
I want my friends to just regular parties, and we just go there and dance. But then you have all the guys hitting on you all night. That's annoying.
No, that is annoying. But if you go to a more mixed club where, you know, a lot of the guys...
And they're drinking, have fun with you, and then the next time when they're sober, they have a different movie.
I never did those one-night stands too much, did you?
No, I've never had no one-night stands. I remember this because my friend, she went out to a club one night, and it was this girl... that they're both a shit face, so they made out all night long, and then the next week or so she see the same girl to go out with, didn't know who she was, because I guess she was so shit face she did it, but now she didn't want to, like, you know, it's not somebody that she would really like, that she was so shit face at the time she freaking made out all night long with her, and then afterwards it was like, oh god.
Yeah, I actually did that once. My friend John, it was a very long time ago, he got me an interview for this job. I went on the interview. She was a stone butch. Did I tell you about this story?
She was
a stone butch, you know, like very obviously lesbian.
Uh-huh.
Right? And so we went on the interview, and then at the end of the interview she was like, oh, do you want to go for a drink? And it was for Giuliani's. He had some initiative here for the homeless or something. So it was a really, I really wanted the job, right? And so I don't know why, but it was very stupid. And I said yes. I went on the interview. Next thing I know, she's feeding me drinks all night. And she's just feeding me drink after drink after drink. And next thing I know, I'm making out with this woman all night long.
And then the next day when you did to go to the job.
So then we ended up going from the place that we were at where I got trashed, so now I'm drunk, and then we ended up meeting up with my friend who got me the interview, and then he was like, Sandy, you weren't messing around with her, were you? And I was like, oh my god, you have no idea what I've been doing all night with her. So then I don't know what happened. Oh, I was supposed to call for the job, and then I woke up the next day and I was like, oh my god, I can't believe that I was making out. Right, there is no way that I was gonna, you know what I'm saying? There's no, I was so embarrassed, and I was so not attracted to her. But what is that? I don't know what happened to me.
I've been with some people, I guess I don't drink that much, so I don't care what alcohol. I don't like it.
Well, it was so weird because, like, the minute I was done, she was feeding me another drink.
my friend that I have with now.
Well, this woman ended up calling me 2 or 3 times after, and she was like, oh, you know, you're foul. How could you not call me? How could you not call me back? That's foul.
For kissing me, I thought you loved me.
I don't even know what made me answer the phone. I was so mortified that I'd been making out with her the whole night. All night long.
You were kissing her like you were loving, like you loved her.
And then she was doing these, she was making these noises while we were kissing.
Oh god, that's the worst. I don't like people make noise.
I don't mind like some nice soft moaning and stuff, but she was just like, you know, like very.
Oh god, I hate when there's a lot of noises and don't talk. You meet somebody that tries to talk, but they have a sense, you want to say, shut the fuck. I've never seen that, but now it's like, you want to say, shut up. Do not talk.
So you don't like dirty talk, then?
No. Dirty talk a little bit, but not, like, not like a lot.
So a talker to you would be a nightmare?
A talker, but they got to talk at the right moment.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense.
Right, you're talking at the wrong moment, it's not good.
Right, so they can't be given a speech.
Real quick, but don't get crazy, don't really talk.
You're a picky lover.
I am.
Yeah. Okay. You're the type that anything could turn you off.
It's true. Like, drive down the wrong way because I'll be like, oh, God. I want to hear the dirty talking, but maybe if I'm not into it, then I don't want to hear it.
You see, this is why I think that you have to talk to people before you sleep with them and find out what they like and don't like. Because what if you hate dirty talk and then the other person loves dirty talk? Then you think you're turning them on.
I think it's shot the fuck up. Or some people that think that you want them to moan and keep a lot of noise and you really don't want them to.
You see, this is why, that's out to the listener. This is why it's important to talk to the person that you're with before you sleep with them, because
I don't think that there's such a thing as somebody that won't like dirty talk. It has to come at the right moment. Like, if you're fooling around and kissing somebody and making out with them and having a whole session with them, you might not want to talk through the whole thing, but say it's coming on to the end, like, where you can feel that hot, heat, passion is right there, and the person says something like, oh my God, like, fuck me or something like that, that's not so crazy. But if somebody just wants that fucking talk all fucking day, it's like, oh my God, like, shut up.
Like you're running for president.
Oh, you like that? That feels good? Oh yeah, what about that? If they want to talk the whole time, it's like, no.
So you know, see, sometimes I like being cursed at. I don't care.
It's got to be the right moment. Like, right, and that build-up where it's like, oh, my God, it's like everything is really good. You can tell, like, everybody got that whole freaking euphoria moment going on. And if the person's like, oh, my God, fuck me. Oh, your pussy feels good. And they say at that moment, oh, my God.
I think I might like dirty talk a little more than you.
But then you want to hear it all the time.
No, not the whole time, no. Because sometimes you need to concentrate.
Right, that's what I'm saying. Sometimes there's a time to concentrate. Maybe they need to know when it's a concentrate moment and when it's a...
Yes.
Go with the dirty talk moment.
Because otherwise you're going to get punched. Sometimes you really... I don't know. Sometimes there comes a moment where you need to concentrate a little bit. Right?
Yeah, like you need to... To me, in the beginning, when you're first getting into it, you need to focus. When you feel that moment of like, oh my God, like it's all there, then you can say all types of shit to me. Talk about that thing like, yeah, baby, what? Yeah, whatever. But in the beginning, when you first just like, you know, making out, you're trying to just get the, you know, just get things going. It's like, there's no need for so much talking. I'm trying to focus here. I'm trying to figure this shit out.
You're acting like it's some kind of math problem. like you're figuring out some long math equation. And you turn around and say, can't you see I'm trying to concentrate here?
Can't you see I'm trying to get this shit down? But no, you do need to focus. And then they're talking too much. It's like crazy.
Yeah.
Like, you just want to stop and go, please.
Yeah, no, I can relate to that. I can relate.
And you just want to stop and go, please. Just look at them with a serious face like, please.
Well, what if you're role-playing? Sometimes you could get into a whole role-playing situation, and then
it's about a role-play that's set up, and I know it is, and that's different. I expect to talk. I expect the whole... It's a role-play. But in the moment...
Yeah, right.
You just constantly, at the beginning of stuff, just be like, oh, yeah, you like that? You like the way it feels? Yeah, like, no! I'm still trying to figure out if I like it or not.
Right. See, but talking...
I used to like, oh, zip it.
Yeah, well, you know what? If the sex is not so good, but the talking is good, that could work. No? Not for you. Okay, no.
Well, I have to be turned on by the person here, because if I'm not turned on and they talk your shit, I would be just like, oh, my God.
You better get out of here.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, then it's a total nightmare.
It's like a funny-looking person telling you, oh, yeah, you like that? This is nice. And you go, oh, my God. It's like, you got to be really feeling that person, because that's not talking to... Or if the person has a voice you hate.
If what?
If the person's voice is, like, something you don't like, it's too strong, too hard, too rough, right? Just, you don't need them to talk.
Yeah, that's true. I think maybe the tone,
really,
yeah.
Hard voices. It's like, oh, God. Because her voice is hard and rough. It's like, oh, God, please don't talk.
Yeah, you see, these are all things that I didn't consider. They could may not sound so good, but they may be saying things in your head that is just...
Even, but they have to, I guess it's that sound. It has to sound good to me, too. Like, you just can't go, oh, yeah, baby, fuck me. I'm like, oh, God, please. It has to be, oh, yeah. Like, it has to be a soft voice that will make me, like, get into it. If there's some voice that I don't want to hear, that I don't give a shit what they say, you might as well be saying the same shit because... I'd be like, oh, God, so... Oh my.
Okay, so you're a little bit fussier about the dirty talk. It has to be at the right time.
Right.
For you.
I guess I am kind of picky, but
I don't know if it's picky, but there's certain things that you like and you don't like. And you don't want someone to sound like they're running for president when they're in bed.
Like they're advertising me for their cooch.
Right, because then you start feeling like, well, maybe you're being coerced to buy something that you don't want.
Yeah, like, let me check it out first. Let me see.
Right. You have to try.
You like that? It feels good. You think it's good? No, I don't know.
Right. You have to try the item before you buy it.
Yeah, like, where can I go to store? Somebody's like, tell me, yeah, this is good. You should take this one. Like,
you have to decide first.
Right, right.
Yeah, yeah. I got you.
The thing with that, too, is you have to feel a person out. Like, even if you don't discuss all the matters, if it's like a person you're sleeping with that you don't know too much about, then feel it out. You don't just go the whole yard with too much one time. I'm not saying I'm a talker or not a talker, or I like it, don't like it, but one a little bit here and there won't kill me. Like, if you say something in my ears, a little whisper something, but if you're going to freaking, like you said, talk like you're doing a freaking speech or something.
Right, like, and oh take out, like, a bullhorn.
And even a good Lord, please, stop it.
See, but I still think that, see, now that's just one thing. There could be a million other things. Like, you may think a certain sexual position is amazing, and that might be the thing that gets you off, right? And then somebody else could not even like it at all. This is why you have to talk to people and ask them what they like. I'd like to know what a person likes.
You can't really talk about it. You just have to do it. You have to, like, try to do it in the bedroom, and the person will be like, I don't feel comfortable with that.
Yeah, but what if...
Like, how are you really going to talk about it?
Well, you could just ask.
To tell the truth, too, if you're feeling hot and loving somebody and just want to fucking make them happy...
You'll do anything.
It's not too much that you wouldn't freaking try to do unless it's something that's going to hurt you. It's not too much you wouldn't try to do to make them... to take them there. But
that's
if you don't really like them, then you could be like, listen, I'm not doing that shit. Like, you would be like, hello.
Right.
I'm not doing that shit. What the hell you think I am? If I'm already looking like, I can say anything like, oh, that fucking perfume wear stinks. Like, I could just say all types of shit because I don't really give a shit. And my friend's like, she's wearing perfume, like, ew, and you smell like a cheap whore. Like, and you can just do whatever because it's like...
You don't feel like that there is certain things that you know that you like that you would like a person that you're sleeping with to know?
No.
Let's say you're talking to somebody, like, you wouldn't say, oh, yeah, I like that when a person does that. You would never say that? You just wait?
If it's a discussion and it's saying I might, but then again, sometimes it's the element of surprise, the figuring out sometimes is a good thing. I mean, that's me. I don't really want to know. I like to figure it. Some of it, I don't mind figuring it out, like, you know.
Well, what if she if she thinks a great idea is something that you hate? And she thinks it's a great idea.
Tell me, she could try it, and then and the bed move. I'd be like, somebody, you gotta feel people's body movement. Like, if somebody's going, like, I don't know, put a finger in the booty, you don't want it. You just move out of the way, like, oh, that's not for me.
Oh, what if she's not a sensitive lover and she's a rapist? And she does it anyway. Then what?
She's gonna have to get up and knock her ass out. Excuse me.
So then you go from
you want to fight about it.
Then you go from lovemaking to punching the shit out of her.
Can you be like, I don't know, but did you just notice that I moved your hand because I didn't want that? And then you'd be like, oh, do you want to fucking fight about this?
And then what if she turns around and starts choking you?
Oh, good Lord. This is a freaking crazy.
And the next thing you know, you're dialing 911.
Yeah.
We were talking about the segways, you know what a segway is? It's those things with the two wheels and you stand up on the two wheels and you just go forward.
Oh, yeah.
And the guy that ended up buying that company, he ended up dying on a segway. He fell off a cliff because he lost control of it and they found him and the segway at the bottom of the cliff.
That's terrible.
Is that crazy?
That is downright disgusting.
They're trying to kill everybody out here. Okay, I love you. We're going to end this. Goodbye. I love you.
All right.
So, thank you for tuning in and hanging out with us. It's always nice talking to you, at you, for you. And sorry about the long break. It's I feel very guilty. I do. And shame has always worked with me. It's you know, I'm Catholic, so shame works. Peterson, shame does work. I mean, you know, it's an odd thing because I'm in a very different position than I am when I first started doing the program. So I don't have the same amount of time to devote, and it's really hard to stay regular. That sounds like a commercial for maxi pads. It's hard to stay regular. So, which, by the way, if you're using, ladies, if you're using men, please tune out for your monthly friend. If you're using things that have bleach on them, don't put them against your vag. Don't put them against your vag. Don't do that. Take care of your vag. Bad toxic chemicals on them. Okay? Google, you can buy ones that don't have all kinds of chemicals. You know what I'm trying to say? Is that too personal? I'm sorry, I don't mean to be getting in your vag. You know, that's very personal. You know, like, who the hell am I? Stay out of your vag. What am I, the government? So anyway, you know, and plus, the people that had started with me being on the show at the beginning, you know, then the show became very popular. So the people with serious careers, you know, are scared to be on the show because it got very popular. So that's the catch-22 of doing this program for everyone who's on it is, you know, the risk that your employer will hear these conversations, which would be absolutely dreadful. It has nothing to do with the gay thing, but we just talk about really lewd stuff on here a lot of the time. So, you know, Sister Luce Marie, she used to pull the back of my hair. She'd say things to me sometimes. You know, why wasn't she nice to me? Why did she have to be a bitch? I was always late for school. Is that my fault? God forgive me, I just called a nun a bitch on my show. Do you understand the guilt that I'm going to have for the next 3 or 4 hours? And don't think that I'm not going to pray and ask for forgiveness. Because it's in my brain. See, once you go to Catholic school and Catholic high school, which I dropped out very soon, but once you are in that system, you never leave. It's like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you don't ever really leave a system like that. You know what I mean? I'm an ex-Catholic. What does that mean? Whatever, I'm Catholic. You know the deal. I'm gay. I think religion is idiotic. You know, one worse than the other. You know, these are personal demons that I fight all the time. What can you do? Not a lot, probably. But so I'm going, and we have a new voicemail call-in number, and you can call in, leave a message, rant, say whatever you want to say, or if you just need to talk, you know, I will definitely listen to those messages. That number is 1-347-989-2TLM. 347-989-2TLM, like the lesbian mafia. Got it? And the other day, I accidentally picked up the phone when it was a call-in for a voicemail, and I ended up on the phone with a darling listener for a very long time. So that was nice. But I don't normally pick up the phone at numbers, so you don't have to fear that. You just call and leave a message. Do whatever you want. Why don't I keep talking about that? I don't know. Other than that, if you need to email us, you can get us at info@thelesbianmafia.com. I know that there is emails in there that I've been really wanting to respond to, and I'm sorry. I know that some of them have been sitting in there for, I feel so terrible about it, months, but I promise I will. If you have sent an email, I will get back to you. If you don't hear back sometime, you know, relatively soon, that means I didn't get it, so you can email again. What else? Twitter.com/lesbianmafia. You can come by the website, thelesbianmafia.com. You can hang out there a little bit, listen to some older shows, go through some of the posts, leave some comments, that kind of thing. Do whatever you want. Hang out with us. All right, so I'm off, and we'll be back at you hopefully soon. Thank you for tuning in, and love you long time, okay? Ciao. Ciao for now, brown cow.